Welcome back to another edition of CFFL HQ. I'm your host, the Commish, and Nick H. And today we are continuing a three-part series highlighting the demise and all that could have been with the label and everything that could have been. Part two. If you want to listen to part one or any of the other podcasts, you can get them on any of your podcast platforms. Like I said, except Apple, because we're not good enough for Apple. At least not yet. It still may take a couple weeks. Or you could just go to CFFLHQ.com and take a trip down memory lane with any of these. Kind of fitting these in around work schedule, and I'm trying to get a hit in. As many of these, like I said, these are supposed to be evergreen topics, which means you could kind of just drop in and listen to these at any point. It's not anything that's going to be time sensitive, but hoping to really stack some of these so they can become a repository of our league and of our thinking and things that have happened in the past to provide a little bit more clarity as we get older. So yesterday we taped part one and everything that could have been. Today is part two, and this one's a little bit different than yesterday's. Yesterday we looked at Al G and all of his terrible misfortune with such exceptional quarterback play. Today we're going to look more at somebody that I just can't believe it didn't work out for a far better scenario given the performance of this individual, specifically contained to 1 year. You know, sometimes when we look at everything that could have been, we could be looking over multiple years. And I kind of was thinking, like, how could we present some different categories of people? Like, there are a few other people that we could put in here, but they kind of fit into another trajectory, maybe like on the upswing. And that's going to be one of the things that we look at, like owners that are just crushing it, and it's only a matter of time before that jacket's hanging up on a wall and really impressed with the momentum that they're gaining. Here, this is like, man, talk about a missed opportunity. And I was stunned taking a look at some of this information after the season. Like, we could see it in real time, and there were some texts that came out. I know Justin B. put one out there, you know, like, am I reading this correct? Because I'm not going to lie, I didn't think I was reading it correct either. So this took place just in this past year, 2022. And when we talk about misfortune and missed opportunity, there's no one that encapsulates that like Mr. Bobby. Okay. Now, some of you have made comments over the years that certain people within the league may be living rent-free in Bobby's head, but we're not here to discuss that today. No, we're going to look at this 2022 season for Bobby. When you, at the end of this, you may say, wow, that was some pretty bad luck. So when we look at Bobby from a holistic standpoint, he's made the semifinals once, and he's made the finals once. Now, you may say, well, where are all these missed opportunities? It's not so much the volume of missed opportunities with Bobby. It's the fact that he had the best team last year. You know, Jeremy won it all. And again, in 3 years, we'll forget who had the better team, who didn't have the best team. But when you look at 2022, Bobby had the best team. And he almost missed the playoffs. He almost missed the playoffs. There was a point in the season where Bobby was on the outside looking in on the playoffs, and he had the highest strength of scoring in our league. He said, how in the world could that possibly happen? It happened. And when you go through his strength of scoring, and again, if you're just dropping in, when we talk about strength of scoring, we had 14 owners last year. If you had the highest score in the week, you received a 14. All the way down to, if you had the worst score of the week, you receive a one. Okay. Bobby was outside looking in with a few weeks left in the play, in the regular season, with the highest strength of scoring in the league. I've never seen anything like that before. To put that in perspective, Christian M made the playoffs with a 60 SOS, and Bobby just eked into the playoffs with 100 SOS. That's how much misfortune there was. So you say, well, how did that come to be? If you look at his schedule, it's not too hard to see. Bobby started a little slow. You know, he only put up 146 the first week. But then he goes on 223.3. And again, I know you may be thinking, where is that in scoring? Like, you get to 200 points with the new defensive scoring. If you got to 200 points, that was a really good week. He was at 223.3. Then 209.7. Then 206.9. 181.4. Again, really strong score. .246.5 dips back down, 142.3, comes back with the highest score at 209.1, 141.2, and then interestingly, he gets to the playoffs, which is a whole other story, which we'll get into here in a second. You know, he puts up one of the best scoring outputs in the playoffs at 189.3, but still loses to Buster, as Kevin B came with 236 points. Now, Bobby probably should have won that week. You're saying, how could a Mr. Bobby have won that week? We'll get to that in 1 second. But just to give you an idea there, what Bobby, you know, it's just the absolute bad luck that he had there. So Jeremy beats him opening week, 186.5 to 146. Second week, he clocks the commish, okay? And he scores 223, has one of the highest outputs that week. We get to week three. Bobby scores 209.7, loses to Brian G, who scores 228. We get to week four. Bobby scores 206.9, loses to Casey, 216.1. Both of those individuals were the highest score that week. Their respective weeks, I should say. Week five, Bobby scores 181.4. And Paul Lokedog says, I don't think so. 193.2. So everyone's putting Mr. Bobby in a jar. Okay, like, get back up on the shelf. Week six, Bobby flexes on Brian S. 246.5. Brian S. puts up a respectable 217.4. Week 8, Bobby, 209.1, highest score of the week, defeats Al G, 170.4. And then we get to week 9. Bobby underperforms, 141.2, loses to Brad A., who scores 155.6. We get to the playoffs. Like I said, he gets to 189.3, but highest score that week, especially in the three ways, is Kevin B. He scores 236.9. Bobby's season is over. However, if you take a closer look at that season, or I'm sorry, that game, that three way, interestingly, Bobby has just an absolutely star studded team. But what happens? There's this game in Evanston, Illinois. Ohio State goes to Northwestern, and you're thinking, we're going to lick our chops here. Because you look at what C.J. Stroud had been doing. Bobby, just to bring you up to date, makes a deal with Casey at the beginning of the season, grabs a first and second, gives up a first and second round pick to Casey. Bobby secures C.J. Stroud. His fantasy output for the year, 31.8 earlier, non-conference opponent, 50.5, 59.8. 48.1, 20.8, 59.9, 41.8, 35.3, when the league average is around 37 points. So there's great performance there. And in those starts, touchdown passes, he throws 29 touchdown passes to 4 interceptions. Okay. On average, he's throwing for 300 yards, completing, you know, around 20 passes. Get to the three-way. So at this point, C.J. Stroud's on his way to like a 2.5-3 war for the season. Like, you know, you get, once you get to the war of a 3 or higher, you are in rarefied air. I think only 1%, it's around 1.2% of players have ever scored that. It's not saying that he would have got there, but he was definitely on his way to like at least a healthy 2 war. And then Ohio State goes to Evanston, Illinois. There's a lot of betting on that game. That was a noon kick, and the wind is just blowing. It's howling. And Stroud couldn't complete a pass. And they weren't really running it. They were kind of taking the air out of the ball, and they were playing mush ball. C.J. Stroud, 10 completions, 76 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, 79 yards on the ground, gets a 15 for fantasy scoring. A 15. Okay, and that's the difference. If C.J. Stroud puts up a week that he should against Northwestern, then Bobby's heading to the promised land. He's getting out of the three-way. But because of that one game, that one situation, really encapsulated what took place for Bobby, you know, this entire season. Some could argue maybe his entire life. Okay, so, and if you look, he had one of the all-time best performances at the tight end position. We'll get into that in a second. Michael Mayer, historically good CFFL player. I'm not talking like good this year. I'm talking good enough to crack the top 3 all-time CFFL player. Okay, so really stacked lineup. Sam Laporta steps up for him. Iowa tight end, gets good work from Marquez Cooper, running back, Kent State. Kendre Miller, 23.3 points. Zachary Franklin, UTSA, 7 catches, 93 yards, 2 touchdowns. Everything was in play here. Even got his Def Bonate, 22 points. Excellent job. Everything was in play here for Bobby not only to win this week and take down Buster, but it was set up for Bobby to go on his revenge tour for the rest of the playoffs. And I got to say, you know, when you start looking at it, overall, this was Bobby's second best team of all time. Only his 2014 team was better, but that was a different CFFL. Fewer teams, okay? But he had a really good season that year. But when you look at him when you look at Bobby compared to other owners in 2022. Like I said, no one had a better overall team. And only Algie at quarterback had a better war than Bobby's tight end war. I mean, it was set up. Really strong squad. And you look at some of the missed opportunities. He killed it in the draft. He got some really good draft equity. He gave up some draft picks, but still, it's worth it. Those are the kind of things you have to do to get a win, but it shows you that sometimes it doesn't always work out, even when you go all, you know, when you go all in. And we've talked about that in a few of the other podcasts here. But to have that happen with C.J. Stroud on a day, remember the over-under on that game, you know, when it first came out, when they were talking, it was like Ohio State, I think their team total was somewhere in the 40s. Now, I know there's been people who have said, you know what, Northwestern has always, in some weird way, played Ohio State well. That's a load of crap. They played that one Big Ten title game during COVID where that was the case. But I'm sorry, I'm not falling for that one, okay? So just bad scheduling. You know, Bobby should have won the division. Bobby barely made the tournament. Barely made the playoffs. And, you know, I think kind of that's part of the reason why I'm doing some of these podcasts is so that you can see, wow, all right, that happened that year. Because this would have just got lost forever. Then, oh, there's Bobby. He got lost in a three-way. Oh, well. But no one's going to remember that 10th round pick. Emeka Ugbuka. I don't know. I see all the names and never pronounce them. I can't even pronounce names even if I know them. He got a 1 war for him, 1.2 war in the 10th round. Excellent pick. Kendre Miller, we brought talked about him before. Third round pick. Basically a 1 war. But just tough. You know, it was just a tough overall look for him that it didn't work out. We'll have to see how he bounces back. Like I said, he's had modest success previously, and that's for a bunch of different reasons that we won't get into. But if you look at what his team should have done in 2022, like I said, Michael Mayer, second team, all CFFL. You know, we're almost up to 20 years worth of teams here. Clearly, the best tight end this year, one of the three or four best tight ends of all time. And, you know, he's almost a 4 war this year. And like we said, a 3 war, that puts you in the top 1%. When you start approaching a 4 war, you're like historically good. There's only a few tight ends that you can put up there. Like the Jason Morrows, the Harrison Bryants, you know, some of those singular seasons that they had where, I mean, I think you can say those would be the only people who were better. And when you start to talk about what his contribution was historically for draft, crushed it. I mean, he was a 2-year starter. You're looking at like a 6 war. I mean, that's an all-time player that Bobby had. And it's just a shame that it didn't work out. And I don't know. I just thought it was worth a little bit of time when you're just looking at players. You know, we take the, if you take the defenses out, you know, you're probably talking about somebody top 10. Top 10 all-time performer was Michael Mayer's performance this year. C.J. Stroud had a really good performance. Sam Laporta, like we said, everyone that we're talking about here, really strong performances. And just a missed opportunity. And we look at what were some of it. Why did this happen? Why did he lose some of his games? You know, he had to start Devin Leary a game. Lost him a game because Leary didn't play. I don't think Bobby had a quarterback that week. Marvin Mims underperformed. Evan Hall underperformed. And I think those two there cost him probably a game. You look at Mitchell Tinsley from Penn State and Lincoln Sefkik. Those two lost him another game. So that's where some of the underperformance probably was. Okay. So there you go, Bobby. Mr. Bobby. No one will ever forget how misfortunate you were, the misfortune that you had in 2022. Best strength of scoring, barely made the playoffs, bad weather game in Evanston, Illinois. And as a result, he goes from favorite. I had Bobby as the favorite. When we even in the three-way, I was like, with that squad that he has, the points that they're putting up, no one had the burst, the sustained burst, having that many games over 200 points. I didn't think anyone was going to stay with him because I thought Stroud would just be able to crush it each week. And then all of a sudden, he has all these other weapons, especially at the tight end position. Like, you start getting two guys, you get Mayer and Laporta, you start getting two guys that you can just pencil in there each week and you're outscoring your opponents at tight end. You know, you're talking, that's a 20-point advantage right there, because if they're grabbing – what, basically 30, 24 and 16, that's 40 points. And your opposition scoring, you know, maybe around 20. That's a 20-point head start with Stroud at quarterback. Stroud's not getting outscored by 20. And then his other players were good enough, especially Zahari Franklin. Like I said, he was a one war. To have four, basic, arguably five guys that were a one plus war, yeah. Bobby should have been there this year. And we're just going to remember it as another year in the Jeremy dominance and another year that he tangled with one of the Charm City boys. But Bobby's the one on the outside looking in who has a complaint. Sorry about that, Bobby. There's always next year. Who knows? Maybe Bobby's seeing more talent now with the way he's evaluating his own players. Maybe it adds a different dimension to how he's evaluating possible CFFL players. The way he's evaluating them at the high school level. I don't know. We'll see. I think we can call that there. Like I said, you can get any of these podcasts at CFFLHQ.com or anywhere else that you get your podcast except Apple. And we will be coming back with even more of these podcasts. But hopefully you have a good day. Can't wait to get this up here and so that you could have this very mild entertainment anytime for you in the future, whether it be a day, a year, or a decade. Take care, everyone. Be talking to you soon. All the best.